This is Christy Westfall, and welcome to HealthCetera. Traffic worldwide is getting worse, and I'm not talking about cars. The International Labor Organization estimates approximately 20.9 million victims of human trafficking across the globe. Human slavery by way of trafficking and forced labor is a $150 billion global industry. Joining the show today is nurse scientist and educator, Dr. Cheryl Boyd. She has experience in caring for vulnerable populations, including women and children in the Los Angeles area. As April is Child Abuse Awareness Month, Cheryl is going to help unpack human trafficking for us. The issue, the life, and saving lives. Welcome, Cheryl.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So, human trafficking, what exactly is it?
There is an academic definition as well as a legal definition, but cutting to the chase, human trafficking is moving people from location to location and entrapping or enslaving them, forcing them to do work against their will and way, way, way below any type of a pay scale that would be considered appropriate for whatever type of work they're doing. It's basically force, fraud, and coercion, forcing people to do work that they do not want to do.
What are the most common types of trafficking?
In the United States, the number one form of trafficking is sex trafficking, and that is leading all types of trafficking. There's also agricultural work, organ procurement, actually, child brides. These are other forms of human trafficking.
I remember a trip that I took to the Dominican Republic, and I was in Santo Domingo, and just being struck by the amount of older men being escorted by 12-year-old, 13-year-old girls that were made up to look older, and just feeling disgust and feeling, wow, I mean, you never really expect to see that, and there it was. So kind of bringing that back home and here, can you tell me a little bit about your experience with trafficking here, sex trafficking in the United States?
And it does look a little bit different here in the United States. You're absolutely right. Quite frankly, it's a very, very hidden problem. It's hidden because of technology and our cell phones, actually. The cell phone is considered the brothel of the 21st century. It is very hard to track down, and it's not as blatant as that elderly male with that very, very young female. We don't see a lot of that in the United States, although that's exactly what's happening behind closed doors.
And so some of these potential, I guess, recruitment websites or kind of places that teenagers could be recruited, what are some of those sources? Like Snapchat, I know, has been one of them. Instagram, is it just any of these that maybe are out there that kids can access?
And you know what? It evolves on a monthly basis. There's new sites being developed regularly. As one is being identified, a new one is coming into play that's the latest and greatest. So it's so important to be aware of what our kids are doing with their cell phones and technology.
So yeah, April, Child Abuse Awareness and Prevention Month, which is why we're here talking today. I mean, trafficking is one of the darkest, most disgusting things that I can really think of, along with sexual abuse and sexual assault. And it's something that I think that there needs to be a greater awareness in our society. And Cheryl, Dr. Boyd, just recently finished her PhD. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And she did her research, actually, in the subject of sex trafficking. And I just want to ask you, I mean, for something that's so dark and difficult to really talk about, what was it that drew you to using this as part of your doctoral dissertation research?
Right. Well, I've had the opportunity to work with vulnerable populations and serve in different types of clinics helping individuals. And what I noticed was the people that I was serving with side by side, they have a history, they have a story, and many of them are wanting to give back to the exact same situation that they had found themselves in at one point over the course of their life. And so speaking to these individuals and hearing their remarkable experience and their painful, sorrowful experience, and their ability to overcome their situation was absolutely amazing to me, and I couldn't let it go. First off, hearing the horrific conditions that they endured as in captivity of sex trafficking, and then being able to walk out of that life and survive through it and then want to give back to prevention efforts, for awareness efforts, for healing and recovery, it's incredible, and it's happening right here in the United States.
So
How does one get involved in the life of trafficking? What is this process?
So there are many, many avenues into the life of trafficking, or recruitment is what it's called. Most victims of sex trafficking are very vulnerable members of society. They could be homeless. There's a term in the literature called throwaways. They come from abusive homes, foster care systems, and they look vulnerable to an experienced eye of a trafficker. That's easy captivity, taking somebody in, letting them know that they have a better life, possibly, they can make money, they can earn money, and forcing them to perform sexual acts for pay. The interesting thing, though, is that these individuals don't receive any of the payment whatsoever, and all the money goes to the trafficker. That's one method in. Another method through recruitment is through strip clubs, modeling agencies, promising individuals that they'll make a whole bunch of money modeling or stripping or what have you, and then that spirals downward into a very, very manipulative process of captivity, violence, abuse, and being forced into a life of sexual exploitation.
Is there any profile that you can provide of things that we might notice on a day-to-day basis of somebody who might be enslaved or involved in trafficking, but not in an overt way?
Right. So there have been many victims that have come from all different walks of life, and individuals who you would never suspect. Most victims are female, 80% are females, and 50% are minors. Individuals that come from difficult or challenging home situations, maybe they're situations of abuse, violence, individuals who are wanting a better way out, want to be treated well by somebody, maybe someone who is a misfit, new to a community, new to a school, doesn't have a whole bunch of friends and really, really wants to fit in. This is a typical profile for a lot of individuals that just are looking for something a little bit better. They want someone's attention. They want someone to pay attention to them. And unfortunately, the traffickers are all too ready to do that.
So currently, the results of your doctoral dissertation are embargoed, but I am wondering if there's any possibility that you could just tell us a little bit about what your study is, and we'll be excited to learn more about the results later.
Yeah, my qualitative work, I sat down and interviewed several individuals who experience a life of sex trafficking here in the United States. All of them are United States citizens, and that's what's remarkable about this. We don't realize how proliferative it is here in the United States. 76% of trafficked individuals in the United States are United States citizens. I have heard the stories of the grooming process and what that looks like that makes entrance into the life almost more acceptable, if you will, for certain individuals and past experiences. There are different phases that these individuals progress through as they're trying to exit the life, just trying to remain alive while living in the life. And the life is a term that's used specifically for forms of forced prostitution and commercial sexual exploitation. And the other thing I came to realize is that there are ways to overcome this experience. And that's really where my work has resided, is the overcoming process.
And so for your dissertation, you did research where you interviewed survivors of the life to just help give the rest of us more knowledge of the lived experience of what it is to get through that, as well as survive, because I think we like to think of ourselves as resilient and surviving something as horrific like that. How can we move forth and thrive and continue with our lives from there? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'll be very excited to hear more about the research or the results of your research.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think that the most important piece of our talk today is, all right, we know it's an issue. We know people are out there and they're involved in this in our country, in our backyards. What can we do? How can we help? And if there are people who are listening to this that may be involved in the life and want a way out, where can we direct them now to help?
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of agencies, both governmental, non-governmental, faith-based, non-faith-based, community efforts to be jumping on board with this and raising awareness. The best thing we can do is know that it is happening around us. We are all potential victims, to be perfectly honest with you. Awareness is number one. Thinking about prevention is number two. Looking for those vulnerable members. Who around us needs help, support, and encouragement? And I can tell you from the individuals I've interviewed, they have said things along the lines of, if I had somebody when I was younger telling me that I could do something really well, I was valued, that I was cared about, that I was loved, that is what got me through during my entire experience. And their recommendation is find those people in your lives that need a little bit of help, that need encouragement, that need support. Tell them that they're smart, that they're fun, they're funny, and that they are valued and they are valuable, that they matter in your life. Build people up. Do not tear them down. Hurt people will continue to hurt people. But people that are loved will continue to love, and it makes a difference.
So I've actually noticed some hotels have soaps that they've provided information for assistance for somebody who's maybe utilizing the room for prostitution mm-hmm. or sex trafficking, and in airports. Mm-hmm. So, and those have had phone numbers, contact information. Do you have any additional resources to share?
Well, the best one is the National Human Traffic Association and Hotline, and it's a number that's very easy to remember, 1-888-373-7888. Whether you find that you are a victim yourself of sex trafficking or know of someone who's possibly a victim or just want more information, it's the National Human Traffic Call Center.
Can you repeat that number for us a
Sure.
little slower one more time?
1-888-373-7888.
Any other final words out there for society at large, as well as the people that are currently entrapped, enslaved, and working their way to get out of this life?
If we don't talk about it, this will never end. It will get worse. Once we talk about it, bring it out in the open, it will absolutely end.
Thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us, Dr. Boyd. It's been a little disturbing and a lot illuminating, and I really look forward to reading your research. So, human trafficking truly is a form of modern-day slavery, and further efforts are needed in identifying, rescuing, and supporting the victims of trafficking. This is Christy Westfall, and this is HealthCetera.